CSI. Somebody has dropped the kids off at the pool, and only David Caruso can make sure they wipe it up. On CSI Miami.
What do we got?
Well, Horatio, when a police officer caught this kid trying to break into his car, the kid messed his pants.
Well, I guess the officer wasn't the only one on duty.
David Caruso is following his nose to the one suspect who made a number two on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the kid's attorney is claiming the excrement found at the scene doesn't match the evidence from the suspect's shorts.
Well, I'd hate to dump the charges, but this case depends on the lab making the link to the kid and his log.
David Caruso is out to scoop up the bad guys on the next CSI Miami.
Shoot. Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired! Yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And good morning and welcome to Monday, October 26th. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Samuel.
Man, that smile is worth a million bucks.
I get so excited to see you.
Like, really?
Like most people, Fridays are like, oh, it's my weekend. I'm on Sunday nights. I'm like, yes, it's Monday.
I'm so fucking flattered, I'm telling you.
Well, then I don't have to work at my restaurant. But it's definitely mostly you, though. It really is.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I was in a great mood this morning, and then I started driving to work, and I always put on my really like inspirational music, you know, to get me all inspired.
Right.
And I put on the radio.
No, not to you.
Shut up. My first song that I turned to the radio. You know, and it's Everybody Hurts by R.E.M.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh boy. So then I change the channel, and the next one is How Am I Supposed to Live Without You by Michael Bolton. And I'm like, someone shoot me. And then I change the channel again, and it's On My Own. I was just like, what is the universe saying to me this morning?
There you go. There you go. You got
to
listen.
So then I had to put the old tried and true on, and you know, that's my Michael Bublé, my soulmate song. Just haven't met you. And then it put me all in the mood. And then, of course, excited for today's show.
Yes. Well, we've got the Three Musketeers in here.
We do.
We might as well bring him in. I mean, we can't leave him out.
I know,
right?
But you know, once we bring him in, it's just going to be chaos in
really?
Here.
Okay.
You've already been able to tell with all the laughter.
All right, so you're not coming in yet.
Just sit there for a few minutes. Well, I want to hear how your weekend was.
Okay, my weekend was great because I've made some big plans.
Oh.
I talked to my parents, right?
Okay.
And my dad said the magic words. He says, I miss you.
Oh, sorry. That money was it with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Miss Cynical here.
No, you're the one that always talks about that's what life's about, money.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he said he misses you.
He missed me, and that sort of like made a light bulb goes off, right?
Okay.
Go off, and I thought, I'm going there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to visit my parents.
Yeah.
So I made this decision, and I'm going to go for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And they're in Israel, right?
Yes.
I want to go.
Yeah. You're going to be in New York.
Yeah, I know.
So shut up.
There's enough Israelis there. So when are you going to go?
Leaving this Thursday night.
Oh, wow.
I don't like to plan ahead too
long. 2 weeks?
Yes.
Am I still getting paid?
Are you going to be able... I figured that was coming.
I'm just kidding. Wow, 2 weeks. What am I going to do without here?
I don't know. Well, you'll have to come by yourself then to do a show. No, you're not.
No. I know you don't.
It's not sharing in the morning yet, okay? Don't celebrate just
give
yet.
Give it some time, mister.
Okay,
give it some time.
I am.
Oh, that's really exciting, though. When was the last time you were back?
I know. You seem like really excited about it. She's like, my fucking life is falling right in front of me, falling apart.
Yeah, so back to you. I'm really happy for you. No, really, I am excited for you.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you be? I mean, for crying out loud.
I didn't say I'm not.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, no, really, really.
She's immediately thinking of herself. Well, what's going to happen to me when he's gone?
Surprise! It's a Sherry show. Hello.
I guess I should have known, right?
No, okay. Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm really excited for you.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. No, it should be
it's
awesome.
It's been some time, though, since you've been back, right?
It's been 2 years. And, you know, I mean, in the 33 years that I've been here,
mm-hmm.
I've probably been back 5 times
that's
at most.
It?
Yeah. That's it.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, no, I mean...
I haven't had that many opportunities to go. You know, I mean, I like going traveling somewhere else, too. You
right.
Know? So
wow.
This is going to
so
be more
like
a family
like
visit. You know, my mom's been sick for like 6 months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With her back and stuff,
okay.
You know. So I figured it's time to go.
Definitely.
You know?
Are you going to be able to like hook up with old like hot friends, those two? Childhood friends and stuff?
Childhood friends, yeah. In fact, this morning I was going through Facebook seeing if I can find anyone. And
this all manifested for you because remember the other day you were like when I was talking about my friends coming in, you said I don't really keep in touch with any of my friends. I haven't seen them in so long. And see,
right
here you are. You're gonna see them.
You see?
Yeah.
I was thinking about manifesting. You know, it's like my dad said the magic words, and there, bam, I'm there. You know? So.
You know, and every time I say manifesting, I always think for some reason just the word masturbating comes in every time. It's like I manifested. I'm like I masturbated.
Now, why do you think that is, Sherry?
Because I'm a sick pig. I don't know.
Certified masturbator. You should write a book on masturbation. Have you ever heard, there's a book called Sex for One by...
I know a lot about it.
Yeah, do you?
Unfortunately. I do. I've become an expert.
No, so but that was a big turnout for me when I read it.
Turn on?
Yeah.
Turn on.
Big turnout.
What, did it teach
to
you
read
how to
that
do that?
Book. No, it shows women how to do it.
Oh.
And I found it to be a pretty big turnout.
You're sick. I love it.
What? Beats red tube.
Nothing beats red tube. You hush your mouth.
That's
God forbid.
True. I know.
I don't know if I should ever put red tube in
the
I know.
You need like cum shots in full color, right?
Shut it.
With the audio.
Black and white's fine because it's white. Why do I need color? Unless he's a black guy, then I know he's a little more of a turn on.
I see. Okay.
Can black and white, can a black person be white and black? Okay, now that was the dumbest question ever.
I know. I figured you don't know what you want to ask.
No, let's just skip that one.
Okay. Sounds like a loaded question to me.
Load?
Loaded.
So yesterday I'm at work, right?
Okay, yeah.
And everything that everybody is saying, like, suddenly sounds sexual. And I don't really don't mean it to. They're like, so I'm going to come to, and I was like, come?
Yeah.
And like, but seriously, like, explode. Like, oh, the pot pie was about to explode. I'm like, explode. Like, I suddenly felt, again, like a little 9-year-old adolescent boy.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I know. You must be desperate. You should see the look she gave.
Where did that come from?
Worth $1 million.
Where did
no,
that come
because
from?
That's all you think about.
It's not all
okay,
I think about.
I'm sorry. I didn't
it's
mean desperate.
I
meant horny as hell.
I thought you were going to say whore.
That's better.
Anyway, so yesterday I'm at work, right? And I get in and this guy, the bartender, he was like, hello, skinny. And I'm like, skinny? Because suddenly I've been feeling a little lately. I'm like, my pants were a little tighter when I went to work. And he said, skinny. And I'm like, have I been losing weight? And then this morning when I got dressed, my other jeans that I wanted to put on were feeling tight. And I'm like, there's no way I was losing weight. And then I realized what it was is that my work clothes were so tight on me that it actually made me look smaller because it was just like sucking me in. So I'm thinking I just need to buy extra small clothes and then I'll look smaller.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Really, that might be some of the reasons, like some women go around, you know, whatever, and they're like, rolls hanging over, their clothes are so tight because maybe they think they look skinnier that way too.
I see. Okay, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk to my friends. They're laughing in the background.
We're going to talk about body image today. We have an author coming up soon.
Was this one chosen for me?
No, it's for everybody, but it's mainly for women. So, you know, okay.
The correct answer was, yes, Sherry, it was for you. Everything is for you. Are we going to learn this yet? The world revolves around you.
Okay, all right. All right,
we'll get you there eventually.
Okay, I guess.
In the meanwhile, yes, it's for all women out there.
Okay.
I get it.
Cool. So you ready to bring your friends in now?
I'm so ready.
Okay, so the rest of the Musketeers, we have... why don't you go ahead and introduce them?
Okay, well, to my left, in a lovely purple dress, that's strapless. We've got dark-haired, blue-eyed Heather. Yay, Heather.
Yay.
Good morning,
and I'm just
going to
give a
good
quick
morning.
I know we're going to have plenty of time to talk, but I just want to give a quick background to each of them.
Okay.
That way you know a little bit. Well, just first of all, the three of us met in high school. Heather and Becky, who we'll introduce next, they were in the same grade. They were a year ahead of me. And the three of us met in summer school when I was going into high school. We did like a high school musical, not high school musical show, but a musical. And that was in 1989 that we met.
Mm-hmm.
So that was about 20 years ago. And then we all went through high school together. They graduated before me. Then Becky took off and we never spoke to her again until a couple of days ago. Well, actually saw her again until a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of Becky, we've got lovely brunette, dark haired beauty and her blue and white.
Welcome.
With her lion's mane, Becky.
Yeah.
Yay.
And these women are full of energy already, dancing and everything in their seats.
That's the way we roll. Not that this has anything to do with you guys, but back to me.
I guess our time is done.
And thank you. It was good seeing you guys.
That's okay. At least you know her, so you're not going to be offended.
Or surprised.
This is nothing new for us.
No.
Uh-oh. No, when I was at a sushi joint the other day on my date. The
joint.
Did you bring yours?
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding. No, we were there and the sushi guy was rolling our things and he was saying something and my date goes, "That's how you roll." And the guy just looked at us and we were like, you know, roll, roll.
Yeah.
Like, and then we were trying to explain to him the joke. We're like, just say it to white people, they'll get it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, so yes, we're always excited, ladies.
That's cool. So now, Heather, you live here in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Becky, you live in Florida.
I do.
Okay, so what are you doing here now?
I came for the show. I was invited.
Why are you here?
Yeah, why are you
What's
here?
What's your intention?
Yeah, I mean, why LA of all places when you can go on a vacation?
Hello!
Right. Reason one,
I see.
Reason two.
Okay. So you came to visit your friends.
As Sherry would have us remember, it's all about her.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yes, I
So you guys already
them.
Know that, right? I guess you've known it before
yes.
I did.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
No, and then also I came out for the U2 concert last night.
Oh, you went?
I did.
Really? How
yes.
was it?
Oh my God, it was fantastic.
Really?
Oh man.
I only
so
heard
fun.
Of it yesterday, but it was a little too late about the concert.
She's been thinking a lot about it, obviously.
Oh yeah, yeah. My favorite group. You too. No, but they're good. I mean, I respect them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, you gotta respect Bono. You gotta respect Bono. I mean, I used to like U2 back in school, but I wasn't like this major fan until I started seeing all the stuff Bono was doing, and I so respected him that I listened to their music more.
Yeah.
I'm such a like a giver.
Yeah.
He's a giver.
You're hopeless.
And as a taker, she really appreciates that.
Shut your mouth. I haven't always been a taker.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm mainly a giver.
Will they vouch for that? I don't know.
I don't know, but the men in my life will.
Go, girl.
They'll call in
soon. Uh-oh. Only the gay ones.
We have surprise guests.
So have you guys had fun this weekend, the three of you?
Yes.
I'm sure you went out on the town and what went on?
Yeah, pretty much right when Becky walked in the door. She came in Friday night.
I asked Becky, would you shut up?
I'm out of here.
He's looking at us and I go to answer something and Sherry starts talking like,
turn my mic off.
She's my translator. You know what I'm going to think of. You were there too.
I thought I liked my friends. Okay. Quiet. Go ahead. Talk to them.
Tell them. Yeah. Tell them about Benihana.
No. Yeah. No, I'm done.
No, you tell us about Benihana. What happened? You went to Benihana.
We did.
Yeah. Had you been there before?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But it wasn't Benihana that we were excited about. Mm. We were excited that the three of us just pretty much picked back up where we left off.
Yeah, that's cool,
18
huh?
18 years.
Wow. So. Is that how long it's been since the three of you were together?
18.
Don't 18 look at me. Years. I'm not allowed to talk.
Well, come on, Sherry. Don't start with there. That now.
She's pouting.
Throw you out the window.
Put that lip back in, girl.
I was using my lip pucker today. No, yes, it's been 18 years since we've seen each other. So wow. When Becky walked in the door, it was just, uh-huh. We all just hugged, and then we were like, let's go. Yeah. Pretty much went out.
Right on.
Yeah.
Would you fix the goddamn microphone? It's irritating me. Just push it over to here a little bit.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Or tell you, it's not bothering me.
Okay, good. It looks like you're uncomfortable there.
No, I'm just hanging out my elbow here. I'm just hanging. Here you go. Is that better?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank
now you. Let me get uncomfortable for you. Awesome.
It's those little things that get under my skin. You
that's
know?
Why I did
I
it
need
for you.
You to be comfortable.
I was. I was.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm good again.
All right, so it was after 18 years, right?
Yeah.
But you've seen Sherry, obviously, here since you live here.
Heather and I moved out here together.
Right.
10 years ago.
Okay.
And then we lived together yeah. And all that.
So do you guys hang out a lot and stuff?
Not really.
No, huh?
No.
No.
Thanks for bringing that up.
It's a sore subject now. So is my nose now.
On this show, we unravel everything.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes.
Well, you talk.
Why we don't go out?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just have different lives.
That's true. My job, I'm mm-hmm. a teacher, so it doesn't
allow are you really?
To go out when Sherry is available. Her
I
weekends
see.
Are okay. Like Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Like, I work nights and she works days. Mm-hmm. So, and then when the weekend comes along, when she can do stuff, I'm working.
Yeah.
So, but we're sisters.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're sisters. There's
that's
no,
cool.
Doesn't matter. Like, I mean, we've gone through stages where we've been really close, mm-hmm. you know, like where we see each other more often and then other times not.
Right.
But it's one of those things like where it doesn't matter. There's always,
that's true.
There's
yeah.
always the connection.
Yeah. There's
Heather
always.
To me has been, Heather is my sister. You know, I have a sister and stuff and we fight a lot. But she is probably the most generous and, I mean, generous in all ways, like, spirited, kindest person that I've ever met, known, and has been my rock for me, like, my whole life, whether we keep in contact all the time or not, I just know, mm-hmm. like, no matter where I'm at, like, I know that I can turn to her for anything, and she's always there. She's
wow.
never said no.
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel the same way, Heather?
No. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've never thought twice about anything that she needed.
Yeah.
So.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? You never
well,
thought twice about what you needed.
I was generous. Like, uh-huh. there's just, it's...
I see. So you always gave her what she needed.
Yeah.
You always gave her what she needed.
Well, if she needed anything,
right,
whether it was
right.
someone to be there or financially
yeah.
or just...
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, yeah, I mean, whether it's material or just being there.
Just
I mean,
being there.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, like, honestly, even right before my silly reality show, which was like a huge deal to me, like, it was like this supposedly giant step in my career, which is just a laughter in itself. And I put that, well, I'm going to be an actress for the reality show. Even just like that and me being nervous and getting away, like, the first thing she did was, like, come over and just sat with me and help me pack my stuff. And we went through jewelry and it was just like, just,
uh-huh.
and it was just that support. You
and
know
then
what
we
I mean?
Went to CVS and I opened up every package of.
Oh, yeah. I had gotten my nails done for the show. I got my nails done for okay. the show, and I broke a nail and that I'd just gotten done, and it was too late to go back to the manicures, and I was leaving the next morning, and so we went to the drugstore, and we were trying to find a matching one, and she literally opened up every single package, because she knows I'm very, little things like that are so tedious to me, so I just stood back, and she was opening up, like, every
which
package.
Which drugstores
really?
Hate, by the way.
Right.
When I come in, they're like, oh, Jesus.
And she kept, like, matching them up to my nail, and I was like, are you really just going to leave those there? And she's like, yeah, and she just threw them all back.
She needed me. I told you, I don't say no.
So I'm saying, like, the silliest things like that, or, you know, anything from, I mean, everything. I'm a lot behind financially, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and she's always
so
been
it's
there,
cool.
So.
I mean, you're
yeah.
like, yeah, sisters.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's cool.
And we've gone through fights, and, you know, we drove cross country together, and we wouldn't talk for a state or whatever. But
Texas is a long state.
Texas is a long state. Long silences. But that's what family does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
so.
True. That's mm-hmm. true. And so you've known Becky as long?
Well, we've known her as long.
Right.
Okay, I need to stop talking, please.
Well,
okay.
Becky and I knew each other in middle school.
Right.
So we... Okay, now I got to bring this up.
Let's get down the card.
Yes,
I knew.
Because Becky and I lived in the same condominium.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw each other all the time, best friends in middle school. And so I am Hallmark Heather, and I love the Hallmark store. So they have these huge cards.
Uh-huh.
And like for... like a birthday or something.
Every holiday.
I gave it to Becky. And so Sherry's like, I was always jealous of those cards.
Well, like years later, I just thought they were so sweet and no one had ever given me a giant card before. Uh-huh. And she used to give them to Becky and she would make like all these like very creative, like cute little jars with name, the puffy paint and all that stuff. And I was always so jealous of it in high school. I was like, but they went back like before I did. They were best friends before I even met either of them. But it was silly. Like years later, I'm like, you know, I was always jealous of those cards.
Yeah. Which translation was, I want one of those cards.
Yeah. But now she's taking me to Hawaii, so I'm over the cards. She took me to Maui, so yeah. It kind of made up for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes when they say three's a crowd, it's because, you know, sometimes a third person can come in and sort of like change the dynamics and everything. But
I don't feel that way.
It hasn't happened with you, right?
You mean like when I came in, when I met the two of them, and they were already a pair?
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to break them up immediately.
I'm sure.
No, she breaks up every happy home.
I mean, yeah, she already admitted she was jealous of the Hallmark card.
It was just a card.
That was years later. I just held it in for years.
It must have been awful.
It was. That's why I had to come clean.
It's finally out in the open.
Yeah. No, but let me tell you, they harassed me a little bit. They were juniors in high school, and I was sophomore, and I got called snotmore.
Yeah.
Constantly. Even when she was like a junior, a senior, it's still like, nope, she's the eternal sophomore.
Yeah.
No respect.
Yeah, but what was with the whole like nostril thing? Because I was snotmore, and then when I was a junior, I became mucnore.
I don't know that I came up with.
I don't know, but it was all along booger related somehow. I'm like, what are you trying to say?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
Do we need to know that?
I don't know. I've obviously lived with this for years, too, and now I want to get it off my chest.
It never dawned on me.
The truth comes out.
That's funny. Yeah, and then Becky, so then, you know, what am I going to say about you? Lots of good things. Well, I'm going to say something briefly about her because today's gratitude day again, and I was just thinking about the two of them as I was driving in and what they've each meant to me in my life. Not that this makes for great radio, this corny crap, but I'm going to say,
I'm gonna say
it anyway because it's my damn show and you're Sam, of course.
As an afterthought.
Yeah. So after high school, I mean, when you're young girls and stuff, like things happen, boys happen, you know, silliness happens. And so it was a long story, but we kind of lost contact with Betty after Betty.
What's your name again?
Who are you? Heather, pass me the notes. What's her
good
name?
Good old Betty.
And I'm done, folks.
Yeah. I would get up and slap her.
They know I'd like it. Yeah. No, after high school, after graduation, they both graduated before me, but Becky went off and we just lost contact with her. There was like a little falling out in high school that barely I even remembered. Mm-hmm. And then we found each other on Facebook a few months ago. And I have to say, just to say the kind of person that Becky is, she was always, when I think back, like always just so loving and like on everybody. If you think like I'm this loving girl, like I didn't.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, some people do. Becky was always just lovey, like loving on everybody. And that was just like her spirit. And she still is to this day. But we hadn't talked in 18 years. And a few months ago, right before the reality show, we were talking, like we had just gotten in contact and I was talking about it and just stressed about how I was going to go away for a month on a show and not have money to do anything and blah, blah, blah. And after not talking to me in 18 years, and not that finances mean anything, but she was like, oh, you're doing this. You have to do this. And just deposited some money in my bank account after not speaking to me for years to make sure that I can get on that show.
Becky, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
Well, it's just money. You know?
I mean, yeah, it's just money.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It wasn't about the money. It was about the fact that I hadn't seen her in 18 years, and the first thing she wanted to do was help me out, you know? And that just shows the kind of person that she is.
Yeah.
And so then we all just started talking, and here we are now.
You notice she's kissing your ass now, right?
I know. I'm wondering what I have to do for her later.
Kiss something else.
I'm not saying it's out of the question. I just want to know what it is.
It's not like we all haven't slept in the same bed after prom.
Listen, we got a phone call. You want to take it? It could be one of your friends. Who knows?
Uh-oh.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Is this Sam and Sherry?
Yes, it is.
Sherry.
Drea?
Can you shut off your computer,
good
please?
Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning. Can you do us a favor and turn your computer or whatever is in the background off?
Sure.
That would be amazing.
Well, thank you. That would help.
Drea actually works with me at my new restaurant.
Oh,
so this
really?
Is a surprise.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell everybody that. I wasn't calling to say nice.
Well, I was Drea's the girl that stole all my money the other day.
Oh, yeah?
All that gigantic tip.
Oh, that's you, Drea. Okay.
That stole that gigantic tip and then left me some money.
But you know what? You turned out to be very generous. That was cool of you, Drea. For sure.
Well, you know, I was calling in because I was listening to Sherry and her friends, and I wanted to say that I'm one of her new friends. At least I'd like to think of myself as a friend. And she is one of the nicest, if not the nicest people I've met in a really long time.
Aww.
So I wanted to say that however nice she was back then, she's even nicer now.
Wow.
Aww,
that's cool.
Thank you.
So sweet. Well,
I'll give you the money
you
later.
You can pay me later, Sherry.
We just said the same thing.
And I'm going,
no,
I've got everyone fooled.
Yeah. So, Dre,
she
I mean...
is. She's so funny and so nice and just a really nice, really caring gal.
Yeah. Well, so, but back to the tip, though.
I told you, Sam and money.
All about money.
Jew.
Sherry, you were right about Sam. He's all about the dollar bill.
I told you.
You know what? Fuck you all.
Wow.
Okay, you're out.
Oh, man.
What do you want to talk to her about the money?
Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, this is like, that must have made your week. That kind of a tip.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I'm the first one to say that. I got all emotional and I went back to the guy because he just was so kind. And I even, you know, I double checked to make sure he understood what he did. And he said, "You always take such great care of me and my guests, and it's my turn to take really good care of you. And it couldn't have come at a better time." And I believe in paying it forward, and that's one of the reasons I think Sherry and I get along so good. Because we both just have the same philosophies about a lot of things. I just don't have Drea-isms. Sherry has Sherry-isms. I just
they're
don't
just
have
other Drea-isms. People's isms
no,
that I make up.
Orgasms.
Well, she steals from everybody, but anyway.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I just wanted to do something nice because, you know, that's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. Let me just give a little background. Sherry was telling us the other day that she missed out on a shift and Drea got it instead. Or picked
well, no,
it up. Or
basically,
picked it
I went.
Up, right.
I went to work and I didn't feel like working, and so she was like, they were gonna send her home, and she said she'd stay for me, and I was like, okay. And everybody came up to me afterwards, and they're like, do you realize the party you just gave away? I'm like, no. And it was people that come in and spend the most amount of money, and one table like left her like $500, and it would have been mine plus everything else, and I just sat and watched her make money. And Drea ended up leaving me some money behind. Like, even though I left early and stuff, she, like, gave me some money.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
because
she did not have to do that at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Nice. So, yeah, you're a good person in my book, Drea.
Thanks, Sam.
Sure. What are you doing today?
Hey, two people's books.
What are you doing?
I mean, that $500 bucks sounds
really
good.
I'm working on it.
Sam's like, have you spent that money yet?
Yeah.
And can we spend it?
We can always go to dinner at that restaurant, you know.
Because you sound really pretty.
I'm not.
Oh, gosh.
I have all personality, no look.
Love your body.
What do you always call me, Drea? What am I?
The smaller, cuter version of me.
She always says, she's like, you're still the smaller, cuter version of me. That's very sweet.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool, man. So, well, maybe you should come in sometime then, Drea.
Maybe I will. I just wanted to give a quick call in, and you know, I just started listening, and just to let your listeners know that Sherry is just as wonderful now as she was with her two oldest friends. 18 years ago.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Drea. I really appreciate that a lot. It's very sweet of you.
No problem. I'll see you soon, honey.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
Aww.
Yeah.
So
we got another call coming in,
oh,
but we've got to call our author. So
who's the caller? Can we give the number out? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Who's ever calling? Call back after we're done with the author.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we're calling. Hang on a second. Sarah Maria, and the book is Love Your Body, Love Your Life. And
it's a rough subject.
Yeah, rough subject. So I thought we'd check it out and see.
Okay.
So let's call her and see what's going on. Okay. And I love my body, but I don't know about loving your
life. I love
it
too, Sam.
Yeah.
Mainly when you walk away.
Hello,
Sarah. Good morning to you. This is Sam and Sherry calling you from Los Angeles.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning to you.
Oh, you're cheerful. I love it.
You're Sherry's kind of person. where are we calling you, Sarah? What part of the country?
I'm actually right near San Diego, so not too far.
That's why she's cheerful.
That's nice.
It's supposed to be the best weather in the country.
Exactly. I get to enjoy the sunny weather.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it must be an inspiring place to write a book. And have you lived here for a long time in Southern California?
You know, no. I actually have been here for about 6 months now.
Oh,
so
wow.
Not too long at all.
Welcome.
But I've been coming, visiting for the last couple of years, but just moved 6 months ago.
Oh, that's wonderful. And originally, where are you from?
Originally from Northern California.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. So yeah. It wasn't a long trip.
Not too far. San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
But the weather's definitely different.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yo, I'm loving it. What are we? It's October 26th now, and I'm in, you know, flip-flops, shorts, and a T-shirt. Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. Someone was just saying that this morning. They were like, it's going to be 82 degrees, and I'm running in shorts and no top in October.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's why you moved here. Exactly. Okay, we get it.
I'm having a great time down here.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. So we're calling you, obviously, about your new book, Love Your Body, Love Your Life. And you were talking about, obviously, a really common problem, I think. You mentioned in your book in the first page that about 80 to 90% of women are concerned about their body and have a body image problem. Is that correct?
That is right. And, in fact, a growing number of men. And, I mean, that statistic alone is staggering. But a lot more men than people realize struggle with it, and in some ways it's even more difficult because a lot of the men I work with think they shouldn't have the problem because it's a woman's problem.
Right, right. So it's kind of embarrassing, yes.
It's strange because you would think, because women seem to be a lot more accepting of men's bodies than vice versa,
right.
Or so it seems.
Right.
You know?
But I think it's about inside of you. It's not about how people react to you.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But I think women, you know, I think it has a lot to do with society and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so tell us, why do you think this problem is so prevalent out there? Why is it that so many people are concerned like this and probably developing all kinds of complications and stuff?
You know, there's a lot of reasons. I will try to keep it simple, though. At its root, and I talk about this in the book, Love Your Body, Love Your Life, the root problem is this fundamental error in the way we see ourselves and see the world, that the vast majority of people go around with this mindset that they somehow need to change in order to be good enough, in order to be beautiful enough. And so they think, they need to lose weight so that then they'll finally be attractive. They need to go to the gym more. They need to do this. They need to do that in order to become beautiful, lovable, worthwhile.
Right? Right.
And that fundamental error in the thought process, that fundamental belief, it creates all sorts of problems and all sorts of trouble because people rush around anxiously trying to fix themselves, right? When in reality, they can't fix themselves in that way because you hear story after story of people who have lost weight only to gain it back, or lost weight and still don't like their looks, or lost weight and live with a constant anxiety about gaining the weight back, or people have gone on and gotten plastic surgery and then still haven't liked the way they look. So, and this is not to say, certainly, people who are overweight and want to lose weight, certainly you can lose weight, you can improve your health. Of course, that is very possible, and can it certainly improve the quality of your life on an important level. What I'm talking about, what I talk about in my book, though, is this phenomena of negative body obsession, which is really this constant rumination on how you look and are not looking thin enough, tall enough, young enough, beautiful enough, etc. This negative body obsession doesn't change when you change how you look. And this is what I really want to get clear. And people, you know, very, very often, you know, someone will look at a runway model and say, oh, if I just had that body, right? And meanwhile, the runway model is living off of diet sodas and, you know, practically starving herself because of fear that she might gain weight and lose her job.
Right.
And she's probably not even liking her body anyway either and looking at somebody else.
She's not liking her body anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not liking her body anyway. And that's what most people don't get, right? The mindset says, oh, if I just looked like that, then mm-hmm. I would feel good. But it's not the case. It's not the case. And so when I work with people, and the message I want to get across in Love Your Body, Love Your Life is wherever you're at, wherever your body, whatever its shape, whatever its size, whatever its color, whatever its dimension, it is inherently and absolutely perfect, right? And what needs to change is how you look at it. Now, I get a lot of, you know, that's easy to push back on and say, wait a second, I'm 50 pounds overweight, my body is not perfect, or I have this disease, or I have this or that. It's certainly not perfect. And what I say is, what you need is a shift in your perception, a shift in your perceptual reality, so that you come to see the inherent perfection and the inherent beauty in your body right now. And once you make that shift to accepting, to loving, to what I call befriending your body, you can then create a relationship of ally instead of adversary. So, for example, if you are overweight and you want to lose weight, what most people do is approach the weight loss as a battlefield. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, I need to eat less. I need to exercise more. I need to do this and do that so that my body will finally respond, this worthless, ugly body that I have. When we shift that mindset, the body becomes an ally. And then the body and mind can say, all right, how can we collaborate together to get the body to a healthy weight? Because the body wants to be a healthy weight. Right? The body has one interest, one sole purpose in life, which is survival. And it will do, you know, it's constantly doing everything it can to ensure your health and your well-being. So when we let go of all the negative thoughts, feelings, and perceptions we have about our body, we can begin to synchronize with it and harness its natural healing powers so that it can achieve the weight that is healthy for it, as so that it can improve health on every level. You know, we live in a time where physical ailments are huge, right? And people struggle with very, very real physical problems. And many of those physical problems can be eased, can be alleviated when you change your attitude and your relationship to your body. And so that's really what I talk about. And Love Your Body, Love Your Life, what I do is outline a 5-step formula for helping you transform the way you feel about your body and yourself. So if you have any negative thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes of not being, you know, beautiful enough, young enough, tall enough, whatever, any, you know, essentially, if you don't love your body and love your life, it is possible to change that. And that's what this book is all about. It is about helping people change the way they relate to their bodies so that they can feel and really experience the beauty and the perfection that they are and that they have always been.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, you like that, Chad?
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know. And I think if people really started to accept themselves, and I think that's what you're saying. The bottom line is accept yourself and learn to love yourself.
No matter your size, no matter any of that. Yeah,
you know, and because we are our own biggest critics, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, and many people may not even care what your body is like, you know, and you're over obsessing over it.
Yeah.
And so I like when you call it negative body obsession, because it is an obsession.
It is an obsession, absolutely. And what, you know, what I say to a lot of people say, you know, no, I can't accept my body, right? Especially for people where this has been a lifelong obsession. And, you know, that eating disorders are a very real issue, as well as people, you know, people who are overweight. And there's so much angst people have to their body. No, I cannot accept my body. It is inherently flawed. You know, and people live for years with this.
Right.
And what what happens when we fight our body is we are fighting life, right? That our bodies are life. Our bodies were created. Our bodies exist without any effort on our part, right? Mm-hmm. When we were born into this world, we did not think, ah, I really need to grow. I need to think about the fact that I need to grow. Never. Our bodies are incredible organisms that are literally synchronized instantaneously with the environment. Anything that comes to us, if we're frightened, if we feel love, all of this gets synchronized and metabolized instantaneously in the body on a cellular level.
Right.
And so when we reject our bodies, we are rejecting life. And we are rejecting the beauty and the perfection that life is always trying to give us. This is why I call it love your body, love your life.
Right.
Because the way we relate to our bodies and the way we relate to ourselves is simply a metaphor for how we relate to life. And if we refuse to accept our bodies, and the acceptance, you're exactly right, is key. If we refuse to accept our bodies, we are refusing to accept life. And only one thing happens, one thing comes of this lack of acceptance.
Right.
Suffering. Pain. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When what they say, what we resist persists.
I always say that.
When we
sorry.
What's that?
No, I was just saying I always say that and I just
yeah.
I mean, as soon as like you I've always noticed that as soon as I stop obsessing about my body is when my body finally just kicks in and weight naturally comes off. Mm-hmm. I start feeling better, but the moment that I start thinking about it every second and I need to diet and I need to do this is when my body actually resists everything that I'm thinking about. And it becomes much
Absolutely.
More difficult.
No, that's a great point. Thank you for saying that. The other thing that people don't want to accept oftentimes is that our bodies don't really care about the latest fashion trends. I know this is a really painful reality for a lot of people. Our bodies were created for our survival. Our bodies were created so that we could live in this world. And our bodies were not created to fit into the latest styles or to, fit into the latest fashion trends. And so what happens is people think that, there's the desire. Our culture says, okay, this is beautiful. And, of course, this changes dramatically throughout history. It used to be that voluptuous, curvaceous women were attractive. I talk about this in the book, Love Your Body, Love Your Life. Many of the European paintings from the 18th, 19th centuries, Renoir, if those women were photographed today, they would be considered completely overweight mm-hmm. and out of shape.
That's true.
They would yeah. never appear on the cover of any magazine. And yet, they were considered the paradigm of beauty. So much so that the paintings have names like Venus, goddess of love, and
we need to bring that back.
Really, really, what's that?
I said, we need to bring that back. I spent a week of my life looking in the mirror, pretending that we were back in that era, and as I was staring back at my body, saying that the Rubenesque is really in, and trying to like change my perception of what I think beautiful is, because I fall into what the rest of society it does, and what is put out there in the media and Hollywood, and so I spent a week trying to do that, and I did actually start feeling better about myself, and I walked out of the door feeling, I am it right now, I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't, people say, oh, I don't underestimate the pressures that we grow up with. And if your body doesn't subscribe, it used to be curvaceous women were attractive. And then, in the 90s, when I struggled with my eating disorders, when they really started, it was when Kate Moss was really popular. In the 60s, you had Twiggy, who was the first sort of ultra-thin model. And so women who are curvier and whose bodies are naturally curvier and at a healthy weight are curvier, all of a sudden feel ugly, don't think they're beautiful, etc., etc. And it cuts both ways. I mean, for the women that naturally look like Twiggy or Kate Moss or whoever, there were times when that was considered woefully unattractive. I mean, when you read about the Renaissance, women who had no curves were rejected. Yeah, it was like, nobody, we can't get anyone to marry them. Mm-hmm. They don't have any curves.
Yeah, so the ideal of beauty changes over generations.
It changes, and the problem is when people allow themselves to be subject to the changing whims of what society considers beautiful.
Right.
Right? Because it changes, and it has nothing to do with what is truly beautiful. Because here's the fact. What is truly beautiful is what you are. Whether you are Twiggy or Marilyn Monroe, whether you are curvy or curveless, it's all perfect. It's all beautiful because each and every one of us is a unique expression of beauty. Each one of us is a unique expression of the perfection of the cosmos.
Right.
And our bodies know this. It's our minds that are deluded into thinking we are not thin enough, tall enough, young enough, etc. And it creates so much unnecessary suffering. And that is what Love Your Body, Love Your Life, that is what my book, that is what my work is all about, is saying you don't have to live like this. You don't have to live disliking your body, thinking you're not attractive enough. Just because 80 to 90% of women suffer with it, just because a growing number of men have been infected with this mindset, we consider it in this culture normal. Like, oh yeah, it's normal. And what I say in the book, it is not normal. There is nothing normal about it.
Right.
Right? It is totally unnatural, and it is the result of delusional thought patterns and delusional beliefs that have been passed down through society that are now infecting us on a very deep level and leading to everything from starvation to obesity and wrecking people's hearts and minds in the process.
Right, right. Well, we're talking to Sarah Maria.
I don't care about this issue at all.
Yeah. No, this is very fascinating and I think very relevant. Absolutely.
She's not a passionate woman.
Yeah.
No, I don't care about this issue at all. Not at all.
So we're talking to Sarah Maria. Of course, the book is Love Your Body, Love Your Life. Do you have a website where we can go and get more information?
I do. I have a website. It's called Break Free Beauty, BreakFreeBeauty. Mm-hmm. And if you go in the upper right-hand corner of that website, I have an e-zine sign-up box. I send out an e-zine every week. And anyone who struggles with this knows how difficult it can be to break free of it because, like you said, there's so many cultural influences that are giving us the message of not being good enough.
Right.
So if anyone is struggling or wants to improve their body image, I say go to my website. Please sign up for the e-zine. It's totally and completely free. And the goal of it is so that every week you're getting this information in your inbox that is helping you see yourself differently so that you don't have to live with the suffering that happens when you listen to cultural messages about beauty.
Right.
Okay, and then for listeners, I also, if they check out sarahmaria.com, it's S-A-R-A-H-M-A-R-I-A, sarahmaria.com, on November 3rd, which is just a week away, I'm going to be giving away a bunch of really great bonus prizes from partners who have helped me in this book launch. So anyone who purchases the book will be eligible to receive free gifts, all focused on your well-being, your health, and success. So definitely check that out at sarahmaria.com, Sarah with an H.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Sarah, thank you so much for your time. A lot of great information, and I think this is going to help a lot of people. So definitely a relevant issue. Thank you so much. Again, the book is Love Your Body, Love Your Life, and the website is BreakFreeBeauty.com. Sarah, all the best to you. Congratulations on the book. And
have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure being on your show. Have a beautiful day as well.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you. All right.
Yay,
sounds
wow.
Very good.
I don't deal with body issues at all.
No, not at all.
I don't think about it 24/7.
Did you hear recently, it was like in People magazine or something, there was a model.
There was a what?
A model that was fired. I can't remember if, I don't want to say Ralph Lauren if it wasn't, but she's like 5'11", 120.
Whoa.
And they superimposed a body, mm-hmm. is what they were saying, on this magazine with her head.
Really?
Because she's too skinny?
No, they said she was overweight.
So really?
They
couldn't.
Wait, 5'11", 120?
Yeah.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, could you just dream?
Whoa,
but
no.
I love my body. But anyway, it's caused such a big uproar.
Yeah.
So now magazines are coming out with the story.
Oh, wow. No, mm-hmm. I did not hear that. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Society.
Well, anyway, we're going to take a short break. I'm sorry to interrupt, but because we have somebody else calling in.
Oh.
It's going to be a producer and a director of a movie that I find relevant. You guys might go to sleep, but...
No, you say director, producer, I perk up.
She may write
a resume. Headshot.
Oh, my God. What have I got myself into?
Don't worry.
All right, everyone. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. The shadows, well, they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away. They had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Themselves away in the magic they had found.
Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Such pressure. Yes. Every time I hear that.
Three crazy shit.
Saving the world.
Yeah. What'd they say? I wanted to say three crazy chicks. I said three crazy shit. I'm sorry.
What's on your mind, Sam? Mm-hmm.
Now we know how he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone has a fecal obsession. I mean,
oh,
fetish.
No, excrement.
What'd you say?
That's why that first CSI one. Uh-huh.
I know you can stop laughing about
dropping
that.
Dropping the kids off at the pool.
With a log.
Wow, you're like 10-year-old boys here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Poopy,
yeah.
Poopy.
Maybe that's why people are calling in. They're like, I have a good poop joke.
Yeah. So, Becky, what about you? Are you going to move to L.A. anytime soon?
I don't think so.
No, you like it in Florida?
I like it. I like living in Florida, but I do like L.A.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't move here?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm a Florida girl.
Really?
Yeah, we move a little slower down there, you know.
She also has a business and she has a daughter.
Oh, really?
I do.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, definitely.
Okay.
But we've got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing today, L.A.?
Good. We're doing great.
We're doing great.
And who are you?
I'm Ricky J. Martinez.
Yay, Ricky!
Oh, my God, you sound like a man.
A director and a producer as well, but I'm calling for my ladies to say it's great to hear you guys on the radio, and I'm sending you lots of love.
Aww.
Thank you. And where do you live?
I live in Miami.
Oh, I see. So a Miami guy as well here.
We were all in high. He was part of our little. I was always embarrassed to kind of say the name, but we were part of the Get Along Gang. And this is Peanut Butter you're speaking to. And I'm Blushy. I'm Blushy. Heather is Cheerio, and Becky is
Honey.
Aww. And we had T-shirts made because we thought we were cool, and I used to walk around with them. And Ricky, I'm just going to embarrass you because why not? I haven't talked to you in probably like 20 years. Ricky's the man that I lost my virginity to.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a lot to talk about, but I think our guests are calling.
Oh, great.
Ricky, can you call back in about half an hour or so? We'll find out about that.
I will try. I have to pick up. I have to go to the airport, but I will definitely try to call back in a half an hour. Yes.
Yeah, or maybe 20 minutes or so. Just wait for the interview.
Do it. We're number one.
We love you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, Ricky.
Bye. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Lucy.
Yes, Lucy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. Are you in LA this morning?
Yes,
oh,
I'm in LA.
Okay, great. Now, your full name, let me find out here. I guess you know it better than I do.
Hopefully.
Lucy Martins, right? And you directed the film called Voices from Inside Israelis Speak.
That's correct.
And so are you here in town to promote the film?
Yeah, kind of. Well, we came here because we won an award. It was the Armin T. Wegner Award at the ARPA Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
So I came over from London to collect the award and, yeah, kind of to promote it in a way as well.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And the film, how long did it take to make a film like this?
Well, it took about 2.5 years, really. I shot it for about 3 months, and then because of funding and because there wasn't much money, so I worked on the side. And it was only 2 people, and then later on 3 people. So it took about 2.5 years to finish. So it started 2005, and then finished beginning of 2008.
Wow. A work of love. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, so tell us a little bit about the film. What is it about?
Well, it's basically about 16 different Israeli Jewish voices who are all inside Israel, and they're part of a different peace movement. And they're all from different generations and different backgrounds, and they basically not only talk about what is happening to their country, but also what's happening to the other side, to the Palestinians. And they're trying to do, through their organizations, they're trying to help the Palestinians and also help their own country to kind of, yeah, move forward. Because obviously there's a lot of militarism which affects the young people. And, people are scared and they're not happy the way their own country is developing because they came, like, for example, there are characters who were there before the Jewish state was actually established. And they had an idea about creating a socialist, peaceful state, what they tried to do with the kibbutz, for example.
Right.
And, and they've kind of, at some point, lost their illusion and decided that they wanted to create some kind of a peace movement so they could change the situation.
Right.
So the film is about these different characters and how their life processed and how they changed their mind.
Right. Now, so it's obviously a certain group of people that you interviewed. Would that give us a pretty wide view of how people feel there, or is that only people in the peace movement?
Exactly. It's only one side, basically, right. Because I think what we try to do, because I'm from Europe, and obviously in the States as well, that it's kind of a very one-sided view of what is happening there. So we only try to get the voice from the Israelis of the peace movement to tell us their story, because, where I'm from, we don't actually know that there is a peace movement or that there are Israelis who are trying to fight the system. So it is only one side or one voice of the peace movement.
Right, right.
We didn't concentrate on the other side. Yeah.
I see. Okay, so you definitely take sides here, or at least you want to present one side in its entirety rather than trying to be, let's say, objective here. You're given the other side.
Well, yeah, it is one side, but because it is, you could say it is being not really objective because we're not showing the other side, but because the other side is constantly in the media,
right?
It is kind of showing the other side.
You're trying to give the voices that aren't being heard to be able to...
Exactly,
yeah. Got it.
Right. And, and because we just let them speak, basically, we didn't really... force any opinion on them. So, and they were all very, very happy and very willing to talk.
Right.
But obviously, they're not really presented in the media.
How did the idea for the film come along? How did you decide to make a film like this?
Well, basically, the idea was to do a film on the one-state solution, mm-hmm. because we think, and a lot of people do think, that the two-state solution is not possible anymore. So I actually went over there to interview all these people from the peace movement to kind of have their opinion about what they think about the one-state solution.
Right.
But, as it turned out, it became a very different film, much more personal, that they started talking about their life and their work, because actually people in Israel don't really have a solution. And it's, okay, some people say one-state solution is the thing that's going to happen, because what is happening with the settlements and the wall in the West Bank, that a viable Palestinian state, very difficult to achieve right now. So the question is, what's going to happen? So that's why we thought we wanted to do something on the one state, to present that as a new idea. But it kind of turned out that many people in Israel weren't actually, didn't really know if that could be a possible solution. So that's why it turned into this more personal account and story.
Right. It's probably not going to turn into a one-state solution, obviously, because both people feel that their ideologies are different and so forth.
Mm.
So, but you're presenting pretty much the history of the area and the way things have developed as well. I see here from you tracing Zionism back to the beginning. And So
the other way, because a lot of them were Zionists when they came or when they were there, and they built up the Israeli state.
Right, right.
Because they were very excited about it and they had high hopes, but that at some point it changed. So this is what I think is special about the film, that you have some people who really had this kind of turning point, and the way they were brought up and the way and what they believed in, and that they were really scared to go over to the West Bank because they thought that all Arabs might want to hurt them or might kill them, etc. And when they actually came there to do peace work, that they realized that they were really welcomed with open arms. So it's all about kind of how they actually try to find their own way or their own sight.
Right. So who was the oldest person you had? How old were they?
Right? The oldest person. The oldest person is about in his 80s. His name is Daniel Gavron, and he was originally from London, and he came to Israel after the Second World War. And and he was part of the whole kibbutz movement. And he describes how he came to Israel to build up a socialist state, and then at some point his view kind of changed, and now when I met him he was in his 80s and he was in the West Bank and he was building a Palestinian house which had been demolished by the Israeli government because they're not allowed to build on their own land.
Right.
So he was suddenly standing on the other side building houses for the Palestinians.
Right. And this whole issue has galvanized the people in Israel. I mean, I know that there's many different opinions and people are divided and so forth. So obviously, as far as the settlements and all that, there's a lot of controversy and that. So I imagine you examine that in your film as well.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we do talk about the settlements and that point, and it is a big factor on the ground, which does prevent, in a way, the two-state solution, as I was talking about earlier, because as you might have taken part of when they pulled out of Gaza, what a big kind of demonstrations that were going on in Israel and how hard that was to take away those couple of settlements. So right. It's probably going to be nearly too impossible to actually take out all the settlements that are in the West Bank right now, because they are really everywhere and they're still continuing to be built.
Right.
We do talk about that.
I see. Why do you think Israel is so misunderstood?
How do you mean?
Well, it just seems like, you know, it's like every time there's something in the UN, it seems like everybody's opposing Israel and so forth, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of support, especially. Finally the Jews found a home after the war and so forth, and now people want to throw them to the sea, you know. So why is that happening? I mean, does this have to do with anti-Semitism, or is it something that you think is more modern?
I don't think it's to do with anti-Semitism at all. I think it's, and no one is denying that they should have a Jewish state. It's totally correct that they should have one. It's very necessary. I think the problem is that there is an occupation going on, and I think that's what a lot of people are opposing to, and it's not against the state of Israel. It's about, you know, also what maybe happened in South Africa with apartheid, that there was the people being oppressed, and that's what a lot of foreigners are fighting against. So it's not at all against the state of Israel itself.
Right.
It's about that there's an occupation, and there's a form of something happening against human rights, and the Palestinians are being oppressed. So right. That's the problem. It's not at all that there shouldn't be a Jewish state. So it's not about anti-Semitism.
Right, right. Now, if somebody wants to see the film, where can we go to see it?
Well, it's running at certain festivals in the U.S. It has been. And we've got a website, which is called www.voicesfrominside.net. And it says there where it's going to be the next festivals. And then also, if you want to have a DVD, you can order it on the website.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but obviously it's been difficult to kind of find it to be broadcasted because it is obviously a controversial film.
So it's voicesfrominside.net.
Exactly.
And we're speaking, of course, to Lucy Martins. Lucy, thank you so much. Congratulations on the award and on the film and everything. And I know it's going to do well because it is rather a relevant topic that I think many Americans are concerned with and interested in.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, well, thanks for having me. And
of course. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
All right, so that's that. Obviously, this was my interview.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't know much what's going on. What I do know is what you said is correct. Like, whenever people talk about, you know, what's going on over there, you always, at least I always hear about, well, Israel's doing this and that to them.
Right,
you know, so
right.
I definitely do see it. It's one side. And I mean, not that I can't give any details because I'm not a factual person with this subject.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that she is giving the side of, you know, the Israelis and you know.
Yeah, but it's only certain Israelis. You got to remember that. And
the ones in the peace movement.
Well, exactly. Right. You know, and that's why I'm saying. I mean, she definitely came across as being sympathetic to the Palestinians and stuff as well, you know. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's only one view that is going on in Israel, you know, because obviously there's division inside, you know, which some people feel it's this way, some people feel it's
everyone has their own truth and what's really going on over there, so,
you know. Okay.
But usually my truth is right, so.
Right. Okay. Are we doing a sharing with Sherry today?
Yeah,
because your friends are here.
Yeah, I know. They're just going to sit and laugh at me.
They might enjoy and listen to it, right?
Yeah.
Of course. They're forced to read about it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Sherry, Sherry, Sherry. It's time to get down and tell your story. Stop still, Sherry. Everything in your heart, Sherry.
Gotta be real.
I love it. What did you say?
Gotta be real.
That's what today is about. Be real.
Oh, really?
Be real. Very good. Very good.
What a segue.
I know. I was just thinking that. And actually, Sarah Maria earlier was talking about like being our authentic selves, and that's exactly what I'm speaking about today.
Oh, okay.
So.
Didn't go far.
I know. It didn't go off my head. Okay. So, we always like, we live in a world, and I've always talked about how in the past, like all I would ever do was always change myself and adjust myself to people that were around me, always trying to like fit in and make people like me more. And I think so many of us do that because we're always looking for acceptance and validation and all that. And I think we need to get to a point, and I'm getting there, of just accepting and loving who you are and being okay with it. And the people that are not okay with it, you don't want to be around those people anyway, and those are not going to be the people that are in your life in the future, you know? Like, right. I've come to accept that I'm a dork, you know? Right. I've come to accept that, you know, I'm not brilliant when it comes to certain things, you know, and I can make fun of it, and I can love it, and there's going to be people who love that about me, you know, love that I am going to be that honest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us spend most of our days trying to adjust and fit and squeeze and, you know, trying to be what somebody else wants us to be. So,
or what you think someone
right,
wants you to
be. Exactly. And what yeah. people, you realize though, is that people really just want you to be you.
Yeah.
Like that's what they find, you know, most attractive, you know?
Yeah.
Someone had said something to me the other day, the Buddhist, and I don't remember what it was, but,
do you guys know the Buddhist by any chance? Did you get to meet
not
him?
Not personally.
No. Okay. But you've heard
only
of
one-sided.
Him.
One-sided.
I haven't really talked much about it because
right.
I'm not obsessed with men the way I used to be.
I see. Okay, good.
So I haven't talked to... I mean, yeah. I mean, whatever. My friend's already laughing at me.
Yeah.
But I mean, like where I meet someone and it's suddenly like, this is it. Like, I don't feel that, like I've said before, that pressure and that need to be like, oh my God, I met this guy. I mean...
And now I'm vegetarian.
No, I did. That was about the adjusting and changing. Like, you know, I went through a stage of like I was dating or sleeping with a vegetarian. And then suddenly I'm like, I'm going to become vegetarian, you know, or I'm going to do this. But I'll still defend to this day that I was trying out different things, trying to see what worked for me, but also like trying to like get them to like me a little more. Let's be real, you know,
right.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
I love that. I keep saying that. So I'm just going to read this because again, sometimes these things speak better than I can say it. So, today it's
if
from,
that's possible.
I know. This is from greatday.com, and it says, this is by Ralph Marston, who's one of my favorites. It says, the world will often discourage you from giving love. Give love anyway. Many times, despite your best efforts, you will not be understood. Keep giving it your best anyway. The treasures in life are not what you get back. Those things are only shadow of life's true value. The real treasures are what you're able to give of yourself. And as long as you give authentically, from the heart, with the best you have, it doesn't really matter what comes of it. It's nice to be acknowledged and respected and understood. Yet even when you're not acknowledged or understood, there is still great value in doing what you know is right and what you know is best. Smile a peaceful smile to the depth of your being. Be real and know that all is well.
Aww. Feels so good.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Makes you feel good all over.
But I mean, like, I mean, do you guys not agree? Like, I mean, how can you not agree about, like, being your true self and your honest self is, like, really the only way to get through life
yeah.
and stuff, you know?
It
yeah.
certainly is. It's just difficult sometimes. There's always that roadblock. I'm not saying that you can't get past it or that
uh-huh.
it's right, but there's always that moment.
You mean where you were tempted to not be yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in certain situations, yeah, it's definitely like it's a lot easier to just do something
mm-hmm.
else, you know. But always whenever I think like when you follow that road and that path is always where you get steered off course, and then you always end up inviting like so much more heartache and suffering and drama, you know, because you haven't listened to your own authentic self, you know.
Well, and it's easier to hear and read it, but to actually do it.
Yeah. Well, I disagree. But no, we can, no. No, you can say whatever you want. Like,
yeah.
I think that things are a lot easier always said than done, but I think once you start practicing it, you know what I mean? And it takes like anything, like time to start doing stuff, you know what I mean? Like over and
really,
over again.
Once you do it, you start getting that positive feedback. You start feeling so good about your life and it really builds. But really the first step is just letting go
mm-hmm.
and just trusting in your inner self.
Mm-hmm.
And if once you do that, like I said, it just kind of snowballs
yeah.
and you don't want to go back. You feel so good, you know, when you're able to let go of some of those barriers that you've built, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when you stop relying so much on what other people think about right. you. And it's that yeah. part is hard. I mean, we all want to be liked and we all want to be loved. I mean, I still do, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you want to be loved for who you are, because you can fake it as much as you want, but the person that you're with or whomever you're around is going to eventually find out who you are anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well just throw it out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's those instances where mm-hmm. you do feel it.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, at the end of the day, you kind of second guess, why did I do
right.
that?
Yeah. Okay. I misunderstood. Sorry.
It's okay. We're friends.
Thank you.
BFF.
We'll still talk after this. We all had our BFF charms.
Yeah.
Do you remember those necklaces?
But there were four.
Well, we don't talk to her anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
I'm joking.
Yeah. So, Becky, so you've got a kid, huh?
I do.
Wow. How old?
I didn't get my exit song. Just
that's
kidding.
True. Well, are you done? I'm sorry. You're right.
No, I'm just
still sharing.
What about a positive story?
Sorry,
anything?
I do have a positive news story.
Okay, I'm sorry, Becky.
No, we'll I'm sorry, to too. That. I was just playing, and now he's really
Yeah, she's right, though. I mean, I tend to be all over the place, but we're still on Sharing with Cher.
No, I just like to share a positive news story that's going on in the world, and there's this man that's 85 years old, and... I can't pull up the story because internet's not working for some reason. I don't remember where he's
really.
I don't remember where he's living right now, but he's been a salesman his whole entire life, and he's been retired for quite some time. He's 82, 85 something, and he spends 7 to 8 hours a day collecting cans and going to the recycle every day and raising $250 every day for a nickel apiece to give money to Operation Smile, which is that charity which takes like children with cleft, you know, mouths
yeah,
and palates.
Palate. Yeah.
And changes and gets, because the surgery only costs $240. That's all it takes. And he goes and spends 7 to 8 hours at 82 years old, like a day doing this, and then writes a check every single day for $250 to it and changes one child's life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Every
That's
day.
Amazing.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. And his kids are like in awe of him, and they buy him like warm clothes and gloves and everything, because he goes through garbage cans. He does everything to go and do this. And, you know, at first they were like, oh, my dad looks like a homeless man. And then they finally realized like how amazing what he was doing was. And because he said like through his sales, and he's done good things, but he felt like in his lifetime that he hadn't done enough.
Yeah.
And he realized that, and he doesn't want to leave this world feeling like he hasn't done enough.
Yeah.
And so far
well,
he's changed
cool.
19 children's lives.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I think
that's
it's pretty
wonderful.
Amazing. Okay, now I'm
okay,
done.
Yeah.
Now
Sharon.
I'm done.
Okay.
It's time for Sharon with Sherry. Sometimes it gets real scary when she's down on her knees looking to please. Then one time in a race, she gets cum
on
her face. She likes it. Don't worry. Clean up. Get outside in a hurry. Sharon with Sherry is the place to be. On her knees, cum in her eyes and up her nose with a rubber hose.
Oh my
Sharon
God.
With Sherry is the way to go.
What did you say?
Not.
Oh. Sam, you always just bring it all right around to goodness.
That's good stuff.
Good stuff. And he always tries to tell me, Sam always goes, you should feel good, Sherry. Someone's making up a song about you.
Yeah. He wants to love you good.
Yeah. So, okay, so now we're going to Becky now.
Now about me.
Yes,
okay.
You can.
All right. So, you have a boy or a girl?
I have a little girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how old is she?
She's 10. Actually, she's not little anymore.
I was going to say she's not that little.
I have a hard time accepting, like, okay, she's a real person, you know?
Yeah. And so, but you're not married or anything right now,
No,
right?
I'm divorced, actually.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. Thanks
wow.
for bringing it up.
Single mom?
Not better.
Well, we need to understand.
I'm
you know?
Okay. I love myself just the way I am. It's
good.
Okay.
Good. After all this talk today.
I do.
How can you not?
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. So,
yeah, I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to. I mean, you know, what are you looking to get married again and stuff? Or?
I mean, I'm not looking.
Yeah.
I'm open to it, but...
You are open to
but,
it.
But, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Yeah.
I kind of think maybe it is, just because of my attitudes. This
yeah.
is something about me, like, you know, I feel like, you know, your heart's desire is really what you're fated to have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked being married when I was. Maybe I rushed into it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually,
that happens.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, but you're happy you have your girl and everything,
I
right?
I am. And I have become a lot more independent
mm-hmm.
as I've gotten a little older.
Yeah.
And I like the way that I do stuff, mm-hmm. so I'm good with my life the way it is.
I like the way you do stuff, too.
Thank you.
That was good.
No, Becky's pretty spiritual herself. Her and I sat at breakfast the other day, and like other people probably would have thought we're a little crazy. We're just having like all this God and universe talk and stuff, and we were both just sitting there with chills like all over our bodies, and we're like, we love God. We love everything.
We need to send you to an ashram or something in India.
I want to go. Well, one of my favorite books is Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, and she talks about it in there and how she went, and I was like, I want to go.
Really?
She also talked about going to Italy. And
I'm sure.
Yeah. All that stuff. She ate a lot. She prayed a lot. And she loved a lot. No, but I always wanted to do the ashram thing. I was going to go to a 10-day retreat out here, actually in Northern California. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-day silent, if you can believe me, silent for 10 days. I've been laughing.
Why would you want to do that?
Because silence is when you get in touch with yourself the most.
That's bullshit.
No, it's not. Try it sometime, Sam.
For 10 days. She's not talking about physically, Sam. Like,
I see, okay.
Her inner self.
So it's more a spiritual type of thing.
My innards.
Yeah?
I get in touch with my innards.
Well, just try shutting up for a couple days and maybe it'll work. It'll be the same thing.
Honey, we've been trying that for years.
I told you. I was 5 years old getting called motor mouth in school. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, what are you
It's my fate. It's my fate.
Yeah.
So the three of us are single.
Yeah. So Heather, have you been married?
No. No. I have 160 kids.
Really? That's a lot of them.
She's looking for a baby daddy though.
My students are like my kids.
Yeah. Is that? I mean, how long have you been teaching?
13 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Do you like it?
I do. There are moments when you just want to physically harm someone.
Yeah. What grades do you teach?
6th and 8th grade.
Oh, yeah. Those are tough.
It's the puberty stage.
8th grade is hard. I was a substitute teacher for a while, I know.
Oh.
It's harder than 6th grade, right?
I don't think so, because 6th grade, they cry for everything.
Really?
You look at them and they start crying.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you a paper.
Yeah. But they're also kind of intimidated when they just start middle school,
you know?
And then, you know, the 8th graders are ready for high school and everything. Yes. They're the oldest ones in the school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have their own little patio for lunch, and this is the area for 8th grade.
Yeah.
And they, you know, call them the scrubs. And poor little kids.
So. Kind of like people calling snot mores and stuff like that.
Right.
You just pick on them.
Just a different age.
Yeah. So what do you teach?
English.
English. Wow.
I taught high school for a few years, and I prefer middle school.
Yeah.
Like you said, the intimidation.
Yeah. Plus, you got asked to prom a couple of times.
Yeah, I did.
Good.
And
girl.
Over for pizza. We invite their teacher for pizza.
You know, it's funny. I told you I went and took the test to be a substitute teacher, and I was talking to Heather about it, and she was like, Sherry, if you substitute teacher, you cannot date the students. I was like, oh, you know me so well.
Well, Sherry's like, I'm out.
But for high school, they look older, even though, you know, they have their own little high school issues, but they look older, and some were Sherry's type, so I was a little
concerned. They had penises.
Not fully developed, but Sherry can work around that.
They're growers.
And they're takers.
And I'm a giver, so we're good to go.
Yeah, Sherry will go for anything.
Shut your mouth.
That's why she signed up. It wasn't to make money.
I was like looking for a new dating pool.
And I was pretty much her match.com. Come on over.
And I was getting paid for it. I was like, I was a whore, but legally.
Yeah. We got a phone call, folks. Okay. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam and Sherry. It's Ricky again.
Okay,
hi, Ricky.
Hi. Okay, so Sherry, go ahead and tell us what you lost your virginity. I can't even say it.
Virginity.
You lost your virginity.
We're going right into this, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how long we'd have Ricky. Yeah, well, I was 15, and Ricky used male dominance over me and convinced me that it was a good idea. And we did it on Mother's Day.
Really?
And it was really funny.
Oh, my God.
In his house. I'm so going to embarrass you. And the next day, my mom, it was one of those things where my mom's like, are you okay? And I'm
You're walking funny?
Is your mom listening?
No, my mom's speakers don't work on her computer.
Oh, thank God.
So she said.
Yeah, there's lots of things she doesn't need to hear.
But your aunt is. I know, I checked the archives, and your aunt like listens and calls in.
Yeah, she totally does. I haven't not let my dad listen, though, because dad doesn't need to hear about my fetishes on my face.
Oh my God. Is Tammy here as well? No.
No, she's too busy teaching school. You have to understand, Sam, Ricky and I have not talked to each other in like 18 years either.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, we've emailed a couple of times and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, he sounds like a man.
Yeah.
We used to...
I sound like a man?
You do. But are you in a unitard with cat's makeup on?
With cat's makeup, yeah. It's a little rough, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I still have like home. I have videos and stuff. Like all we used to take all these videos of us like doing musicals and all this stuff.
Oh my god.
And our get along gang dances.
Yeah, I still have them. No, it was an interesting time in our lives. We were like a group of 10, I would say, like regularly 10 that would all like hang out and have sleepovers at my house and stuff and, you know, try our first drinking.
And get drunk on Russian vodka.
Or wine coolers.
MD 2020. Yeah. And then we'd all hook up with each other. Well, you have your hormones raging, and I was like, let's play 7 Minutes in Heaven. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's have sex with a Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Aren't you glad you called?
Yeah, call back, Ricky.
I'm so glad I called.
So, Ricky, do you remember the first time with Sherry?
Oh, no, you did not.
I do.
It wasn't his first time.
No, I said first time with Sherry.
Yeah.
I'm going to cook it.
If you let me talk.
It was my first time with Sherry, but not my first time, right?
Right. So you were pretty experienced by then.
I don't know. I don't know if I call it that necessarily.
Yeah.
You were a male whore at that point.
Yeah, he just knew where to insert it. That's all that matters.
Crawl under this table right now.
Oh my god.
Now is this the guy that you found out was gay afterwards?
Wait, this is, say it again?
No, he's talking to me about this. Go ahead, Becky. Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, you were just close to the thing. Well, we've actually never really spoken about this, but yes, he's the one that ruined my self-esteem for years. I was just like, wow. I turned men gay.
So you had sex with Sherry, and at what point after that did you decide you like men better?
Right after. Just kidding.
I'm not gay. Are you saying that I'm gay? No, I'm not gay. I'm bisexual.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm a bisexual man. Yeah.
Well, it's different.
If you're a man and you're bisexual, you're gay.
Well, no, to a girl that's young and stuff and that loses her virginity to somebody and then you find out later, in my mind, because I was so young, he was just gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Excuse me, if you go to bed with a man, you're gay.
That's in your
Why?
Straight mind.
Why?
Well, because if he still likes women, then he's bisexual.
He's still... Okay, you
that's
know what? I'm
straight.
Not going to get
that's
into
okay,
it.
Okay, well, let's not get into
okay.
this.
So I mean, do you have like threesomes with men and women at the same time?
I used to when I was younger, and not nowadays. No, my life has got a little bit more bland and all American.
Yeah, and you don't have to answer some of these questions if you don't want.
Yes, you do.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty open about it. I don't mind.
Okay, yeah. No, fair enough. I just have to say that.
That's cool. Okay,
you know me. I've always been pretty open about stuff, and I'm pretty cool, you know, about things. I'm. No skin off my back or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere. Yeah. Not my foreskin because I don't have any.
Thanks for sharing
with Sherry.
I was human too, so what can I do?
Let's embarrass Becky a little bit. After prom, Ricky and I like went back to my grandparents' house because they were out of town. They were in New York at the time, and Becky brought her ex-boyfriend, and so the four of us were in the house and. I guess Ricky and I were having sexual relations in the shower, and I look up and like her and her boyfriend at the time were peeking through the door.
Really?
I wasn't peeking.
Oh my god!
No, yeah. He was peeking, trying to get me to look, and I was like, really? Do I really need to see all of that?
So what? Do you remember seeing, Becky?
Love your body.
Love you.
Just love it. Not quantity. I'm talking quality, baby.
Chopsticks was the only one we didn't catch doing anything, huh?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, chopsticks kept it all in the house. I mean, you know, behind the closed doors. Heather is called Chopsticks.
Oh, yeah?
No, I was not called Chopsticks. No. Ricky and I came up with this.
I know.
I was just I wanted to know who he was referring to.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Ricky,
I'm not. I'm Cheerio.
I know. Sorry.
Ricky, do you prefer men or women? Why is that funny? I mean, I'm asking serious questions.
I know,
because
you just keep going back.
You know, it all depends. You know, it all depends. It's not like, you know, I wake up today and I'm like, I taste like men today.
Right.
That's
it feels like a woman today. You know, I don't wake up having a certain flavor. It's not like that. It's whoever, you know, it's about people. It's about attraction to people.
Right.
Some
that's
people,
awesome.
You know.
That's awesome.
You hit off immediately. There's a certain chemistry. I guess that's the big word, the new modern word.
Yeah.
If there's chemistry, then there's everything else, I guess, you know.
So it takes a good personality. So it takes a good personality, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I fall in love with people. I think everybody that had the blessing to run into my life in all capacities has always been a blessing.
you know, and has been very blissful. I've enjoyed them to the T as much as I can.
So what you're saying is I still have a chance.
She never gives up, man.
For sure.
She wants to show you her new move.
Well, I want to be like, okay, this is what I'm really
even
like.
So I have to say, Sam, when I guess de-virginized Sherry, she didn't have the Niagara Falls syndrome that she has now, I believe.
Oh.
Really?
Oh,
well,
God.
That must have turned you on, huh?
Oh my God.
Did it turn you on?
I've been doing my research on your archive.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess.
I'm bright red.
Yeah. Were you like shocked? The amount?
Sam.
What?
Were you shocked at the amount?
Wait, say, I couldn't hear that.
Okay, never mind.
I'm in the middle of Miami traffic, which is a nightmare.
Okay, never mind.
Nothing.
Okay. Ricky, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Yeah. Too much information again. All right.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, you know, Sherry, it's really interesting listening to Sarah talk. I didn't get to hear the gentleman that's book afterwards, but I think you've always been beautiful inside and out.
Thank you.
Outside in, and I'm very, very proud of you. I'm actually proud of everybody in that studio, and I thank you so much. I wish Miami had a show like this that you guys make me laugh so much. All the archives, I just spent like hours listening to your archives, and I've just been laughing my ass off.
Yay, thank
you. Sam, be careful with Sherry, you know, but Sherry, be careful with Sam.
We're very careful.
We're good, thank you. Yeah. Hey, it was really nice hearing your voice.
We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Have a great show.
Thank you.
Love you, Ricky.
Bye. Aww.
That's Ricky.
That was surreal.
Yeah, because it didn't sound like him.
At all. I'm like, am I talking to the same
person? Well, you remember still a 17-year-old kid.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I mean,
when he first called in and we heard his voice and Becky like lit up, and that's the only reason why
I knew it was him too. Because they keep in contact, Becky and Ricky.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you knew.
We're in the same neck of the woods down there.
I see.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Ricky and I have to say, like, we were best friends in high school. Like, we spent all our time together before we ever even had sex. So I would go to his house after school together. His mom loved me. We just spent like all our time together. And then it was just came to that point where it was like, you ready to have sex? I'm like, I don't know, I guess. And then we just did a few times. And so that was that. But then we lost contact after school. Like, we got in some silly fight that I don't even remember either because I block all these things out. And I didn't talk for years. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's really nice. So it's been years, and it's kind of crazy to hear the voice.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, people from the past all popping up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let's see who's next.
Maybe he's my soulmate.
Oh, maybe.
No.
He is a producer.
Well, you know, that's true. You know what else would be really cool?
He's an amazing director. He really is.
Okay, great.
More about Sherry.
No. I was going to say, you know, the coolest part about being, if I was with him, we'd bring other men in the bedroom.
Yeah. Sherry would love that.
Win-win.
Yeah. Sherry has a flavor of the day.
Would it turn you on to see him sucking another cock and stuff? No.
She meant her.
I've watched gay porn before, and the men have to be, for me to like find it somewhat attractive, the men have to be like really butch. Like, you can't be like super flaming or anything like that.
Yeah.
So to answer to your question, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, knowing you, you'd want both of them focusing on you.
Well, I've been with two men.
Yeah, right.
And they were gay, but I didn't know it at the time. But what would be really helpful in that room, like if they were to suck each other off, would be a bottle of vodka. That would be helpful.
And then anything goes.
And then I would be guiding them through it. I'd be like, deeper, deeper, let me show you how to really do it. Sharing with Sherry.
Yeah,
that should be the next one. Yeah. And then your exit song would be perfect.
Do you always remember her being the sexual and stuff?
No.
You kept it to yourself for the most part?
I think once I got into the relationship, like with my ex-fiance, like we had so much time to just like do things with each other, and I learned how much I really like loved sex. And but then I started using it for the wrong reasons for years, like, you know, my whole, you know, feeling better about myself.
Right.
And now I've learned how to take that unhealthiness and use it for healthy behavior and only sleep with the right person. But I fell in love like with sex and everything about it. And I just love talking about it. And I've been around men. I don't have many female friends. Like, Heather was really one of my only closest friends, like after Becky disappeared. But I just mean like, and so I was just always around guys, like, and I think it's, because I just taught, I loved it, and I talked about sex, and so I just learned so much of my education and just speaking from them, you know? So it was just always something that I always heard their point of view, and I just felt like I was a guy's guy kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And yeah, I love sex a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think
there was any question.
Right. But I don't think that I definitely wasn't that way, like, I mean, many years ago and stuff.
It was just usual high school
stuff.
But.
Right. But out here, I mean, in New York, it's also when I discovered how truly sexual I was, too. And that was like, but that's during your like early 20s and your development years. And I developed a huge libido.
Yeah. Somehow I think you always had it. Yeah.
huge fan base.
Huge fan base.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd call Sharon. Like, I was out here. Was I? No.
I don't know what you're going
to
say.
I was in Florida. And I'd call and talk to her, and she'd be like, "Oh, I didn't come home last night." Oh, same guy. No, new guy. New girl. New guy and girl. Guy and guy.
How many guys do you think she's been with?
He's asked me this question before, and I never answer it. I'm curious.
She goes, more than I can count.
I don't have that many fingers.
More than I can count.
I'm an English teacher, so I don't do math.
But we're not... Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question. I personally don't think that it's a lot for my age and for how sexual I am.
Yeah.
But what is a big number? And what's a low number? And what's an average number?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to judge.
I'm just asking. I'm curious.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't actually keep track.
Yeah.
I mean, once, you know, it was over five, I was good.
Yeah.
There's no book. Yet.
No, yeah. So. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I guess for women, 5, 10, 15 is pretty good, right? For men, it's like thousands. It has to be thousands for it to be a lot.
Which is okay.
Yeah,
right,
but it doesn't happen to most people.
Well, I actually had a roommate in college that kept a running list.
Really?
I did too for the first 20.
Well, was your list because we were in class?
Yeah, she's like five.
Mine
unhappy.
Was like bartender. It didn't have names sometimes.
Well, that's what it was. We were in our musical theory class or whatever, and she took out a sheet of paper, and I see her writing, and I'm like, wow, she's taking a lot of notes here. And flipped that paper over, and it was like two columns for each, and it would say, like, guy at library.
That's what mine was like.
Bar.
It was like, John's friend at party, dark hair.
So-and-so's friend, guy with black hair. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that was for a little while in my life when it was just like, ooh, this is so fun, and I'm exploring my sexuality and all
one
that.
One after another and then...
Yeah. I wouldn't say like one after another. I mean, I at least wait a few days in between.
Yeah. A few hours. All right, I'm good.
But again, it's been like, and now I'm at the place like where it's been like 4 or 5 months since I've had it. Like,
yeah.
And I'm really just looking for, you know, the one man.
Yeah.
That I can be my hoary self with.
Sounds good.
Yep.
And so what do you guys do this weekend? I mean, did you do anything exciting and stuff, Becky?
Well, I went to that concert last night.
That's
kind
right.
of a big thing for me. But, like, together, we did go have some karaoke fun the other night.
We
that
did.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that was actually really fun. Well, Saturday during the day, I took her sightseeing.
Uh-huh.
So we did the whole, like, went up Mulholland, and I had her look over, like, Overlook Point, and we went by the Hollywood sign.
Right.
And then I took her through Beverly Hills. We went to Grauman's.
Yeah.
Fun.
The
like,
usual
Shitville,
stuff,
Shitville
yeah.
Chinese theater. Like, and we took pictures. She got to see, you know, like, all the characters and stuff that, like, dress up like Marilyn Monroe, who's like 80.
Yeah.
That. And then we went to, and then they went out and started drinking before I got there. I was working and I met them out.
Yeah.
They were super fun when I showed up. Like the two of them were just like, what? Like, we drank together in high school, but it was such like minimal drinking, you know, that to like show up and see their faces
well,
there.
Stupid drinking games.
Yeah.
This was just going out, having good adult
having fun.
Yeah. And so I walked in and I was like, let's have a shot.
Yeah.
Like right when I got there.
Which is her usual slogan.
Or foreplay.
Let's have a shot.
It's her foreplay. Let's have a shot.
Yeah.
You guys were pretty toasty when I got there already.
Oh, yeah. We were feeling good.
They took some fun pictures. And yeah, we all just continued to drink and just had such a fun time. But we were supposed to hang out yesterday, but we were all way hungover.
Yeah.
And she texted me in the morning, Becky, and she was like, I'm too tired and my head hurts. I'm like, me too. Don't worry. So we all just laid around in bed all day.
Yeah.
Not together.
And then today, after we leave here, we're gonna take her down to Venice. The three of us are gonna hang out for the day down by the beach.
That will be cool.
Yeah. Maybe have some cocktails by the ocean.
Yeah. So Becky, that's your first time here in LA, right?
It is.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things to see. For sure.
I love it. The weather's been awesome, and there's just so much fun.
Yeah.
So many fun things to do.
For sure. And Venice, you won't forget Venice. I mean, it's a...
That's what I hear.
It's a memorable...
Yeah. I mean, I loved going during the week because there's not a lot of people, but the only thing that sucks is that they don't have, like, all the street people
the
out. Because it's Monday.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, like, as, you know, exciting. But it'll be our beach, though.
That's true. Yeah, you should have taken her yesterday. Where was your mind?
She was... We were both hungover.
Okay.
And then she had the U2 concert to go to. Where's your mind, mister? I just forgot what I said 5 minutes ago.
And you went to Benihana too, right? We started that. What happened there?
That was fun.
I was cursing with a little 5-year-old next to me.
You know Sherry in her mouth, and she forgot that the little girl was there because the girl was so quiet.
Yeah. But it was like 11 o'clock, 10:30 at night. Like, why do you have your young child out on a Friday night? No, I'm just saying.
But the teacher in me kicked in. So Sherry's like, fuck that, that's that. And I'm like, Sherry.
And then I looked, and I looked at the mom. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Actually, she didn't look too pissed off. Like, everybody at the table was laughing at us. She's like, oh, well.
Yeah, we were definitely a little trio. But I also realized how old I was because we just had one drink out, and like, it was, I was supposed to spend the night hanging out, talking to her, and as soon as like we got back to the house, I was like, I'm going to go home and go to bed.
She kind of parked right in the middle of the street. She's like, okay, it was good seeing you.
I've been up since 6:30 in the morning, and I was just exhausted, and I was like, Becky, I'll see you tomorrow.
It's been 18 years. Nice 5 minutes catching up with you.
And Becky's the one that kept saying, no sleep. We're not getting any sleep.
I was like, yeah, good luck with that one.
And mom's like, we are exhausted.
Listen, we're not 17 anymore.
No, not, we're not
sorry,
anymore.
Sorry, I'll get them broken in good next time I come out.
But we have a whole day today. I'm ready to have a drink by the beach. Okay. I'm telling you.
Right. A whole drink. Woo! Get messed up.
Well, I might disappear from you guys if I have any more to drink. Cute boys.
No, I thought you by yourself.
They do have nice bathrooms there.
We're going to have to get the harness out for you, Sherry.
I'm really not this bad. This is all just a show.
I know.
What? Who are you trying to
No, but I mean, like, where I would just, you know, like, I'm just not going to go to Venice and have sex.
Why not?
Unless it was really hot.
Yeah, why not?
Damn, I don't want to go then.
All right, we're staying at home.
So you didn't finish saying what you did this weekend.
What did I do this weekend?
You mouthed down a bacon and onion sausage. When I read that too, I was like, who says I mouth down? I'm like, you're dirty.
I mouthed a sausage.
I know.
That good Sam humor.
I guess I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, like people say like they chowed.
I scarfed down.
I scarfed. He said I mouthed down, and then it was a sausage, and I'm like,
I went down on a chicken onion sausage.
I was like, did it have a good personality?
Did you get to know its name? Should we call it?
Sam doesn't even have a word to say.
No, I don't. I'm speechless.
So was that sausage, I'm sure, when you were done with it.
It was a good sausage, let me tell you.
Ricky, you want to call back?
Sam likes sausage.
Yeah, I like eating sausage, not sucking it.
Eat, suck, whatever.
Wow. Same thing.
I met a cute boy the other night when we were at the bar.
How you asked about his week, so you never finished about your weekend. But pause and think about it.
She just wanted to know about the sausage.
Well, you went to the farmer's market, but didn't you hear him? He goes to this place and he forgets what we're talking about, so I got to keep it going. I learned. Okay, what else did you do this weekend? Nothing really. Here it comes.
Yeah, not much.
I see why Sherry went back to her story.
He reads a lot.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I know, he's a great reader. And now, like, my nightstand is like, I seriously have like 8 books sitting there. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed with them. Although I've been reading our guest the other day, Patricia.
No, Pamela.
Yeah, her too.
Pamela Beatty.
Betty.
I was like giving you the eye, like the effed up book, and I'm like, I'm so into it. It's really,
really
good. Yeah, I'm really, really into it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great interview on Friday.
I thought
huh?
so too. Yeah.
She's into like reincarnation and
past lives.
Oh, we were talking about this at breakfast.
Yeah. We talked all about it because she was giving me info on my soulmate. Remember, Becky's the one that talked about, she wanted to tell me about my soulmate and what she thought. Uh-huh. So we both just laughed at my rooftop lover.
The invisible lover. Yeah.
Which you posted that, by the way.
Yeah. And you said imaginary.
You said
it. Oh, I said imaginary. You said he's not invisible. Right? Then what the hell is he?
He's there. You just can't
out
see
there.
Him.
I see.
He's got an invisible cloak on.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we are virtually out of time.
Virtually. Aww. Do you ladies want to say anything? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Shout outs.
Shout outs.
I'd like to holler.
Holla. Is your mom listening? Does your Heather? No. Are you going to have her listen or no?
She could.
Okay, well, hi, Nancy Math. Hey.
Becky, you going back tonight?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's why we're getting her loaded today.
Yeah, good.
I think
so you're not working today, are you?
No.
Good. good. Oh, go have fun.
Yes.
Have lots of fun. And yeah. It was nice meeting
Thanks
you both.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
It's amazing. Been fun.
Yeah, well, I expected so Cherry to have fun friends, so there you go.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on today.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm so corny.
Cheeseball.
I know, but like, you don't understand what's happening inside my heart. On that note.
On that note, whatever.
Sounds like Sam.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.